This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Srixon Golf Balls. I have personally had the opportunity to experience the entirety of their lineup in the THP Tech Studio and have confidently featured a number of them in our testing. Whether you are looking for a premium urethane option in the Z-Star series, a quality budget option in the soft feel, or somewhere in between with the Q-Star Tour, Srixon Golf is bound to present an option that will work for your game. For more information, visit www.srixon.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me, once again, finally, he's back, a busy man, Mr. James Miles, staff writer extraordinaire, golf coach of the year, so far as I know. What's up, my friend?
Nothing, man. I feel like I've come out of hibernation, even though I've been busy as all get out, but I'm finally getting to settle back into things. It's nice.
You know, I want to go really heavy into the experience this year with the boys and the girls. You've had a pretty fun run. However, I know a lot of people out there this week are super excited about a little bit of a small, tiny, weeny little golf tournament this week called the PGA Championship, which happens to be in your backyard.
Yeah, it's Southern Hills, which I'm lucky enough that I bought tickets for a couple of days and I was given tickets to today, which is Tuesday when we're doing this. So a couple practice rounds and one tournament round out there, and I'm pretty pumped about it. It's a good getting away from coaching and getting to go out and enjoy everything in my backyard thing.
So that's pretty sweet. I'm super disappointed I couldn't make it work. Obviously, we had discussed, thanks a lot, end of year school stuff. I love you, Calvin, my little monster, but man, what a time. I wish you guys ended in April. So, you know, super disappointed I can't be out there, but you were nice enough today to send me a couple of pictures, one to mess with me and one of my guy DJ, who for whatever reason I'm a huge fan of. So what was it like out there today on Tuesday? Obviously, the shorts were weird.
I thought the shorts were fantastic, but that's just me. I went out with my one bag on my high school boys team, who's going to be, I guess now he's a senior, but we got to just kind of wander around, and we didn't really follow anybody specifically on the day. We just kind of kept watching the boards to bounce around. We had the letdown of Tiger not going on the course today, so we missed him on the range. He just did range today, which that, I'm telling you, that walk, I don't know how he's going to do it. I really don't. I mean, I know really? Augusta has the elevation and everything with it, but it's the same kind of thing. There's way more than what the TV is going to show you as far as elevation changes that go on out there. But we kind of watched a little bit of everybody. We got to see Rahm pound driver into oblivion. I got to watch Patrick Reed hit three of the ugliest drives I've ever seen hit by a professional ever. Exactly. I saw your best friend Sergio hit one really well. It was good. We were all over the place. Tomorrow we're going to go watch more of shots into greens, but we kind of hung out on tee boxes most of the day today.
I'm impressed Sergio's still playing on the tour.
Yeah, well, you know, he's ready to leave, but they won't let him.
Yeah, we can probably tackle that one later if we really have to, but you know, obviously waves going on there, but I think the focus here should be on Southern Hills. And is it weird seeing it in the condition that it's in? You seen it before without it all?
I've been out there one time. It's my one on the list of the big courses here that I haven't got to play yet, but I've been out there. It was pre-renovation whenever I was out there. So now it was interesting listening to, like, in the press center, a lot of these guys talk about the changes, how many trees they took out, but it is immaculate. We've got some good rain the last week or so. So everything is perfect. The greens are hard as heck and firm, and they're talking about 93 degrees the first couple of days and 25 to 30 mile an hour winds. And then on Sunday, it's supposed to be 73. So they're going to get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm really curious about, because you guys just went through a pretty heavy heat wave over the last, what, week or so? I know just from following along with your experiences in regionals and state with the boys and girls, but What has the weather been like? It's been hot here in Ohio.
I mean, today was about 86, but the humidity's way up. So that's kind of playing with it. But the next 3 days, which would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for those of you listening, it's going to get steamy. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that, because our humidity is not, it's not South Carolina humidity, anything else like that, but it's just, it's a little bit different when you combine it with the winds that you're going to get. And out there in that course, the way it sits down, there's several of these holes that the wind is just going to jack with them. For instance, the 250 yard par 3/8, which is going to be a nightmare for people.
Is that 250 yards? Yeah. I mean, we play the same game. So obviously when I play those at my home course all the time, I don't seem to have any trouble with them. So if these guys this week struggle, that's pretty disappointing there. that's nasty, man. 250. I mean, that's crazy.
And almost everybody was laying up. So that was pretty crazy to see in a practice round. Everybody just kind of hitting short of the bunker and hitting a wedge up there and trying to make a 6-footer for par.
I wonder if they're just doing that to see, you know, getting comfortable, saying what happens if the wind's kicking into us? Can we control the experience from the bottom side? That is gnarly.
Hey, and I don't know how well it'll show on TV, but there are 5 tee boxes, maybe 6 tee boxes that actually, because of the length they've added, they hit tee shots over greens. So the greens are going to have to hold off and let these guys hit their tee shots and clear, because the direction is going that way. That's how they've added length on some of these. It's absurd on some of them.
That's great, because you know the tour doesn't play, they play a little too fast out there. So the idea that we can slow them down a bit is probably a good thing. Complete and utter angry sarcasm at that comment. But hey, if it's on TV, I'm going to watch it. Just flip to commercial and give me something terrible else to watch. I want to know a little bit more about John Rahm, because you said you'd watched him hit some absolute bombs. John Rahm to me is such an interesting experience, because his swing it's his own for sure. Uh-huh. And it's built off of the fact that he had experiences as a youth that made it challenging to take a full swing, from what it sounds like. So it's not really so much a control thing. It's just his homegrown personal swing. What always blows my mind about Rahm is understanding how in the hell he puts that kind of power into his shot. So you got to see it up close and personal. What did you see based on years of watching other people's swings? Like what is so unique about Rahm compared to these other guys with super compact swings?
His hips are incredible, and that sounds weird to say, but my one bag was out there with me, and he was recording the swings. We got on one side of number 2 tee box. So we got JT, we got Rory, we got Rahm, we got Patrick Reed, we got all these other guys. And so the whole way home, he's listening to them. And like, I could tell every time he played the one with Rahm, because it just sounded so different. There's really? So much force, but the amount of power. And it's funny to listen to all the people who are out there around the tee box that don't really know, that have never seen him swing in person. They're like, how the hell does he do that? Well, that's the million dollar question. I can say, I saw a lot of guys in it. Yeah, it's Tuesday. There's a lot of guys out there, but there were a couple that were way sharper than others, and there were a lot of them that were not very sharp today. So it'll be curious to see what happens tomorrow.
I would love to know very selfishly what it was like to watch Rory swing. I'm mesmerized by his golf swing. I know he's got his pitfalls as he closes in on the green. That's it's been a decade or 2-decade long discussion. But what he can accomplish on a tee box, and certainly from a deeper part of the fairway, is nothing short of, I lack a word, mesmerizing to me. I love watching him swing. Was it like that in person?
It was. I mean, the driver swing, that's the first time I've seen him swing driver in person, and it is what you expect it to be. I'm really focused on tomorrow. He's one that I want to see hit some irons and wedges, just to see the wedges out of curiosity to see where he's at, but irons, because that intermediate game, and I mean, like the 600 and some yard par 5 and some of those shots that they're going to have to hit, and some of the shapes that they're going to have to hit out here into these elevated greens, that's where I want to see Rory. Driver was cool, but I mean, Rahm blew me away. Bryson blew me away. He is heavily wrapped up, by the way. we got to see Colin swing it, and that's just buttery. Victor is slinging it right now out
Victor's
there.
Victor's your guy too, for sure.
Hey, and he knows that course inside and out, so he was putting on a show today. But I mean, Rory was cool to see. It was a couple shots is all we got to see him today. So I'm hoping to dig more into that tomorrow.
If you could sit back for 20 minutes and watch any one of the guys you saw today on a range, just cycle through and focus on whatever club you like the most, what was the one swing that you'd love to watch more of?
Man, I want to say Harry Higgs because he's my spirit animal, but that's not the prettiest
way
one out there. that's
selfish,
who I want to
James.
Get to. I walked away from today more enamored with Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa. Those two and their, like, Scottie, I spotted Scottie, not even without the gallery that started to build the end of the day. It was a tee box away from us, and I just kind of look up, and like immediately from 500 yards away, you're like, that's Scottie. And that's that swing that just, it's the same thing. And his footwork's crazy. Yeah. His footwork's crazy, but when you don't watch the lower half and you just watch the path of the club, it's just stellar. And
perfection.
Then Colin, I did get to see him hit some iron shots, and it's nuts. It's ball striking 101.
Yeah. Yeah. Scheffler, I'm very much rooting for him. The track he's on is, I've seen people make Tiger-esque comparisons to it, which is, I don't think that's fair. I think we all agree that Tiger isn't going to exist again in another form, but what he's accomplished so far is truly spectacular this year. And the fact that he does it with his right hand or his right foot slinging, nothing short of a miracle in my brain, but obviously there's something right about it because he has complete and utter control over it. I did that twice this weekend. Both shots were horrible. Just were keeping track.
Hey,
needed some metal spikes on those days.
And the only, I mean, the other thing that I'll say about out there, the greens, they've all kind of got that tortoiseshell effect to them. Like there's every edge is a false edge everywhere. And you're going to see a lot of balls release and run off of greens. And
really?
everything's mowed as tight as I've seen it around the green complexes, and watching them, you know, drop four or five balls and hit wedges and bunker shots and all this other stuff, and seeing these golf balls, if they spin it and they don't control it, it's sucking all the way back off the green. If you try to control spin too much, it's releasing through because they're so firm and fast. I mean, I'm trying not to get my hopes up that it's going to be a like real test in the PGA Championship and we don't see somebody go out and shoot 20 something under, but like if the weather holds like it's supposed to, it could get interesting.
I had a discussion with someone today, actually talking about this week, how I didn't think the PGA had a real identity the way that the Masters might have, or the US Open, just that sort of manufactured impossibility factor that they introduce at the US Open. Do you think that they're looking to achieve more of an identity based on the way they've cut and presented Southern Hills?
I mean, I don't think so. I think they're kind of letting the course just be what it is. There's no intermediate cut anywhere. It is your favorite Bermuda everywhere. The fairways are as tight as can be, and as soon as you get off the fairway, it's 2.5 inches thick. I mean, the balls sit down on them hard, so it's going to be interesting to see what lies get caught there. But it's also not like there's no places on the course where you're getting 5 inches of crazy rough. It's just not there. They're letting the terrain and the wind and all the things that we deal with be there. And if the wind blows, it's going to be interesting. If the wind sits down, then yeah, I mean, I could see some guys kind of picking some stuff apart. But the length is there. I think it's 75 something it's playing. So it's going to be interesting.
What do you think? I've been considering trying to convince my editor to bleep out the word Bermuda every time it's used on the show. You think that would go over well?
Well, I mean, you know, I've told you forever the secret to Bermuda is just swing hard.
Don't look at it. Hold your breath. Pucker. I think it's pretty much how you described it the last time we played on it. I think that's the PGA talked about. I'm looking forward to your experiences as you go through the week. Obviously, being in the backyard is a cool experience for anyone. And I hope you get to maximize that. But who do you like to win?
I've been back and forth on that all day. After,
give me a couple.
I know you want
Hovland to win. I know you do.
And you know, I love Victor and I'm unabashed about that, but watching him hit golf balls today, like there's this little swagger saunter to it. Cause this is a course he knows inside and out and has played a ton of times. And if the wind blows out here, cause he went to college here, he knows it. I mean, I like Sam Burns. I think there's some of these guys out here that are used to the wind. I think Scotty's going to be good because Scotty's used to these conditions too. If the wind blows, he's not bothered by it. Whereas if the wind does pick up with the heat, like that sucks for Rory. Rory's not great in that. He hates it.
Same.
Colin could be good. Colin hitting the ball today off the tee was pinpoint from the couple that I saw. But it's not going to be Patrick Reed. Can I say that again? It's not going to be Patrick Reed. If it's Patrick Reed, I may retire.
Who's going to make the cut, Tiger or Patrick Reed?
I don't know. I didn't get to see Tiger swing today. I mean, around there with Patrick Reed's short game, he's probably got, from what we saw of Tiger's short game last time, I'd say advantage Reed, but Tiger knows the course. So I'm really excited to go out and see him. And I've got Thursday tickets. So that first round, I believe the pairings came out today and it's Tiger, Spieth and Brooks.
Okay.
So I think it's Brooks. Maybe it's not.
That's a hell of a mixed bag in one pairing. There.
Yeah. There's that group that I'll probably try to, I'm going to be out there by myself. So I'll probably try to follow that one around a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, my heart and my head actually right now say Victor, which is interesting.
I love that. I'm going to go with, I have no idea. I don't know.
I think that's the safest bet because
anything. Normally when that happens, I either pick DJ or Rory and it almost worked out. I'll tell you what, dude, I haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. I took Rory on a flyer for the Masters and he embarrassed me for 2 days and then finished second. Yeah, so I was feeling pretty friggin' good about myself because I was never picking the number one in the world, the guy who hit every expectation of winning. It was never happening. So I picked Rory thinking if this happens, number one, JB is going to be mad. Number two, I'm going to look like a genius because he's shown no signs of it actually happening. Second place, I win.
There you go. I was going to say, the only other thing I've really got is like taking one of my kids out there and he's good. He's really good. But like he was shocked and I knew he would be by the size of some of these guys. Some of them are so little.
Yeah. Like Rory's not a big kid.
No.
Victor, and how big's Victor? He's not a big guy.
Victor's taller.
Oh, is he taller? Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like DJ, but like we sat on one tee and we watched DJ and Woodland and Kuchar tee off. And that is, I didn't realize how tall Kuch actually is.
Yeah.
Like that was a big group and DJ looks like a linebacker right now. Like what the camera does to him, but the one I was most shocked about all day, Bones. I did not realize how tall Bones is.
Really?
That dude, and yes, he's with JT, so JT makes everybody look tall. But yeah. Bones is like my height. Bones is like 6'3".
Looks hungry.
Yeah. So.
Huh. So I should take DJ is what you're saying. Linebacker DJ for the win.
Oh, I mean, he hit a beautiful drive off one. That's all I know.
Sold. If he hits a cut all weekend long, he might be the one.
There you go.
Let's talk about golf a little bit, man. I know your season hasn't really gotten started yet. Sounds like you put on a bit of a show the last time you played, but you are nowhere close to the 200, whatever number of rounds you had slotted last year. So where are we at now?
I think I'm at 19 right now.
Okay.
Which last year I played 267.
Hold on a second. 19. James, I have more than 19 posted rounds this year.
I know. I got so, with the boys and girls, I got so invested. This is the first year of coaching high school golf that I didn't play the last month and a half. I don't think I swung a club the last month until we went to state with the boys and I played with them in the practice round. So it's just not been, it's not been it. Now, starting next week, I'm going to go into two-a-days and then I'll catch up. But yeah, it's been it's been interesting. Like I've honestly, I've been so stressed with everything else going on. I wasn't sure that my mind was going to enjoy it. Now I went out yesterday and played really well, and I'm like, oh yeah, I do like this game.
Tell me all about it.
I think we're gonna be good.
It's my understanding you did not shoot over par.
I did not. I shot one under. I was four under through 13, and then I double crossed a drive to take a double.
Nice.
I only had a double and a bogey on the card, though. So everything else, where there were four birdies, two eagle putts left on edges, and the rest were all pars. And I mean, only two of the pars did I have to scramble for. I hit a lot of greens, and it was one of those that I finished and I was like, oh, okay, so I can still do that. And yeah, it was nice. It was effortless, which made me happy. Now it's all downhill from there. I know that. I'll probably go shoot 92 on Monday, but it's a start. Yeah, there's a little wind, but you know me, I love playing in the wind. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, you play a fairly penetrating shot when you feel like it. Mm-hmm. I have two bad questions for you. Number one, you were very much all in on the Adele putter fitting concept. Obviously, we have a great partner, Chris Koski. Shout out to him. But you've gone through that whole experience and are very much emotionally invested in the Adele process. Are you still rocking that Adele in the bag? And how challenging will that be as a putter bleep or aficionado, as you may call it? How challenging will it be to maintain?
Not challenging at all. It's the first time in my life that I have never, like, I go for a round of golf and the putter is not my thought of what I want to try something else on. Now for reviews and stuff, I'll happily try other stuff, and there's some cool stuff out there right now, but I've never been able to see my line and know that I'm set up to my line based on my aim bias. And the only thing I've done is I took the round grip off, which will probably make Koski and them irritated, but I put a Garson Max on, which I like. And beyond that, I've changed absolutely nothing. I crave going to a graphite, like a stability shaft or something, but I refuse to mess with it because my fitting was so good with back weight and all the other things. So it's as safe can be. And I've never been able to say that. And I rolled it like a champ yesterday. So
last time we really talked, I don't know if it was on the pod or not, but you had challenged me that I was inevitably going to return to Old Faithful. How are you feeling about the fact that I have not done that yet?
I'm proud, actually. It's good. Change looks good on you.
It's scary, man. And I never did. I said, for those folks following along who are not familiar with it, I had a Scotty Cameron in the bag. It was a love of mine for many years. And the intent was to pull the head, put it in a shadow box, and put it in a place where I got to look at it every single day and think happy thoughts, because I've got some incredible rounds on it. But my thought was, let's keep trying things. Let's keep having some fun. And where I landed was I guess 2020 Toulon, the Austin, with a long neck, an H2, I think it's called. Is that right? H2? Or is it an H1?
I'm not going to say yes or no, because I don't want to mess that up.
So it's the long neck option with the initials H-E-T on it. So shout out to you if you built that in the garage and stamped my poor putter with your initials. But we will clean that up soon enough. Did you know that Srixon Golf has bolstered their Z-Star lineup with the inclusion of the Z-Star Diamond this year? It's a fantastic fit in between the standard Z-Star and the XV. During my testing experience, I really enjoyed my time with the Q-Star Tour and was thrilled by the urethane option in an extremely affordable price window. If that wasn't enough, Srixon has taken the head-turning divide and incorporated it into their Z-Star lineup with a more traditional finish. This gives golfers a chance to gain the benefits of an extreme alignment aid while enjoying the technology like Spin Skin that comes in the premium Z-Star offering. For more information on Srixon golf balls, visit www.srixon.com. For me, was it. I suck with a mallet. There's no way around it. I even tried to rename it a blade alternative, and it was very detrimental.
I'm glad that died.
We tried. We tried aggressively. But truth be told, I just needed the closer-to-face balance experience, and that that has unlocked not only confidence on standard putts, but the shorter ones, James, are where they really hit. Like 5-footers feel automatic, and that's a great thing.
it frees everything up. I mean, that's where I've done, you know, I did the Club Champion fitting, and it gave me good information on what kind of toe hang and everything else I need. And then the Adele fitting kind of took that to a different level, which obviously with their kind of toe up balance on it, but it's the same way. Like once we found the proper visual for the shaft and alignment, like I stand over a 6 foot putt now, and like I feel like I'm going to make all of them. Now I don't, but I feel like, and I've never been that way. Like I've always been, you know, I've always been pretty decent from distance, and I can give myself a good finishing look, but it's in that in between range where I'm not putting defensive anymore, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Like I feel I feel free enough that I can go at it, and I know I'm not going to hammer it by. I know I'm not going to leave it short. I'm just going to give it a chance, and that's all you need.
Yeah. So everyone listen along. I hope you have an opportunity to engage with us on the THP forum. We'll be in there chatting the day after the show drops, and it'll obviously be a continued conversation, or those on social, but let us know what your experiences are with putter fittings, because that, to me, it's such a fun part of the game now. It used to be terrifying to hit a brilliant drive and hit a brilliant iron shot and then just stress over a 10-foot putt. Now it's like I can't wait to hit that 10-foot putt because I have a product that I'm very confident with to make a really good stroke of the ball and see if I can make that birdie. So I'd love to know how much time and emotion people put into it, especially in the fact that most of us putt somewhere between 30 and 40 times around, ideally less, but you know, it's a lot of our strokes. So why not get more emotionally involved in the decisions we make there? Why not just cause you see something on TV doesn't mean like, let's immediately go and jump into that. There are places that can help you pick from that lineup if you're really into it, or that design, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about fine tuning. Like you may be able to make that new putter that you like fits you better just by altering and or knowing what lie angle you need, knowing what loft you need. I mean, it's simple stuff. It doesn't have to be like my Adele fitting was as complex as they get, but it doesn't have to be that. The options are good, but knowing, especially I'm a big believer on the greens, knowing those little things, because I mean, a degree here and a degree there equates to a ton of distance off of your target. And that's just, I mean, you spend a ton of strokes really fast there.
Yeah, and shout out to our buddies over at Seymour who unlocked that reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know,
years and years ago, why they had to put that in my brain was a very cruel but helpful tool to better understand what I actually needed. I want to transition a little bit, James, because you have gone on a bit of an iron emotional pilgrimage, I suppose you could say. You're in a soul-searching moment, mm-hmm. Which has all come back to... You are a player iron guy.
Yep.
And what comes of the quality of the shot is on you. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, that's actually a very positive thing. How have you weathered that storm? What puts you in the place you're in?
I mean, I it's tough. Like, cause with the review aspect of what I do for THP, like I know how many golfers out there benefit from more game improvement, super game improvement. I don't like the categories either, but they are what they are. Those types of irons, like and they can benefit from it. But at the other side, after years of trying to make myself fit in those, I also know that I'm not at the point right now where I benefit most from those. Can I play them? Yes. Do I enjoy them? Sometimes. But there's always something going on mentally, and I fully accept it's a mental thing by me.
Yes. That's what I wanted to hear.
And that's, yeah. I've never made any qualms about that. Like I'm not a believer on you have to play a smaller iron to become a better ball striker. No, like that's not it. My reality is whenever I look down at a smaller top line, less offset, I feel more comfortable over the ball. Misses are still misses, and they're going to be accentuated based off that. But with where I've come in my game and the shape that I like to see off things, those smaller irons let me hit the shapes that I want to hit. They let me flight the ball more the way I want to flight the ball. They let me do all of those things. And I take ownership on the fact that if you're having a day where you're not finding that consistency, you better have a go-to swing to strap together and get it around the course, or you're going to pay more than you would with a more game improvement style iron or a little bit larger iron. I'm okay with that. Now, as far as finding what's going to be in the bag, that's been an ever changing story.
Yeah, that I'm with you, man. I've been having a lot of fun with Mizuno's offerings. I actually put the JPX 921 and the Forged in the bag when I was trying to smooth out the swing a little bit. I've been overextending with my driver that's kind of leaking into everything else. So my thought was the easier the club I have, the better chance I have of just putting a smooth swing on it, especially when it comes to distance, because you know, those things go like monsters.
Yes,
shout out to Chromoly goodness that's involved in there. But the last couple of rounds, I actually put back in what I'm hoping to be the 2022 gamers, which are the 221 and 225 combo set from Mizuno, the Mizuno Pros, which are unbelievable irons, by the way. I'd like to say that they are scary sometimes, but you know, that combo set has been really satisfying. I think I've been emotionally wrapping my head around the 7-iron because the 225 is such a clean blend into the 221. Like, you really have to go out to the toe to see the difference in the two heads. Uh-huh. In my brain, it's like, I could totally get away with putting that 7-iron in there. So if I'm not feeling like super great about myself, I might just go grab one of those. Oh. But yeah, like that, I love that combo set, man. Do you at the top of your bag, is there a point where you draw the line on what you're looking for from a shaping perspective, and you just focus more on contact and distance?
I mean, I've come so full circle there. I mean, you remember a time whenever I carried 5 and 6 hybrids. Now, they were the original Apex hybrids, which were tiny, but that was just that was where the comfort was in there, because I was seeking all these other things that, as it turns out over time, aren't really what I needed. So I've been a long term, and I still believe in combo sets. I'm not in a combo set right now. I mean, I play a 4 utility, and then I just play 5 through gap. So in the sets that I'm entertaining right now, that's just kind of the blend, because visually it all works for me. Now, the 225s, if I were to stay in the 223s, I could put a 225 5-iron in, and visually, yes, from the backside it looks different, but it's set up from messing around in the store whenever I shouldn't have been in there. It looks right, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about at setup, is like, if I feel good about it, I'm probably going to swing the club pretty well, regardless of what it is.
Well, here's the way I look at the 225s and 221s. And I actually just did this today. I played golf today. We can talk about that later, because it was satisfying, James. But I showed one of the guys I was playing with, who's in like my dad's age, basically, so a little bit older. And I was showing him the 221, saying like how much I enjoy the clubs. And I said, but I want to show you something. So I went and grabbed my 6-iron 225 and my 7-iron 221, and I put it up to him. I said, yeah, check out this transition. And he's looking at it, and you could tell him trying to figure out what the change was.
Uh-huh.
I said, this is actually a hollow body iron over here on the right. And I said, turn it to the toe, because when you actually look toe facing, it's significantly wider on the 225, but it's so hard to see just even in the bag. The fact that they didn't like make huge 2 and 2 and 1, it was probably the smartest thing they could ever do, because you could sneak in a couple of those and it has that visual presentation that says, I'm playing a combo set, but am I really playing a combo set? You know, just getting away with that added benefit. And I'm telling you, man, those, the 6 and the 5-iron, the 225s are nasty. And I cannot believe how good the sound quality is off them. I'm just still trying to wrap my head around it, because they are just, they go and they sound incredible. How they do that, the addition of Chromoly and all that into there, oh, it's good, buddy. Am I selling you on them yet?
I mean, I've got the 223s in right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been playing the heck out of them. Now, I don't know that they're going to be what I end up with this season, just based on visually it's set up. I'm very, very picky for whatever reason. And I should say I'm embracing that I'm picky. Like, this is the first year where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to play what I want to look at, not because like, I don't have anything else to do this year. Like, it's just, it's what I'm going to play. I don't know. In that case,
I have a question for you then.
Huh?
Is there, so I have a 4-iron. It is a Cobra, I think Speed Zone, maybe. It's the 4-iron that Ricky put in play for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 18 or 19 degrees of just bombery. It is a super game improvement, speedy iron with a carbon fiber top. And, and it's got a Rogue shaft in it that is way too long for a 4-iron, but shorter than a 5 would. And I hit it, you know, I hit one after the bounce today. I had 275 into a par 5, and I said, I'm just going to see what I can do here. And I hit it like pin high on the left side. Now there's a bit of wind and it's firm, but it's like, this is the club that I go to, and people are like, what the heck is this thing? And I'm like, just give me a minute. Like, if there's a par 4 I'm stressed out on, this is coming out. I'm going to be in the middle of the fairway. It's going to be a great experience for me. So for you, is there a club that you can think of that's likely going to end up in your bag that just flat out works for you, even though it doesn't make sense when someone looks at it?
I mean, the closest that I've got is I play a 4 fly high of the new fly eyes, and I play it 3/4 of an inch over standard. Because it kind of gaps in well, because right above that is the other club, and it's a 19 degree Apex UW.
Okay.
And those are my two, like you say, like if I have to sit there, like if I need to hammer a draw down the fairway, I'm hitting the UW, because that's the shape that I see and that's the shape that I hit. If I need to flight something and just hammer the snot out of it off of the deck or off of the tee, it's that 4 fly high. That's just filthy with that, the face that they've got in it now. The amount of ball speed that it puts out is nasty. And it's Srixon territory, which for me, they'd been the kings in the utility section for a while. And the new Tour Edge is hot as heck too, but that's kind of what I play in that realm of stuff. And then beyond that, once I get down into irons and into wedges, I'm pretty tame. Well, I play a 62, so I can't say I'm too tame.
That's terrifying.
I'm kind of tame.
So speaking of Srixons really quickly, a good mutual friend of ours, Andrew Martin, who will be listening to this podcast, keeps hitting my ZX4 5 iron and is absolutely infatuated with it. I already told him he can't have mine, so he keeps saying he's going to have a set. Would you like to go on record telling Andy to purchase a set of the ZX4 irons from Srixon?
I mean, he should. I put one of my high school kids in 4s this year, and I put another one of the boys in 5s. And they've never been happier. I think that's the iron lineup that does not get the focus that it probably should from top to bottom.
I agree.
The 4, 5, and 7s are there. It's killer. They have literally everything that you could ask for, whether you are a better player who wants that demanding look versus a guy who wants a good solid look and feel, but more power back behind it, like in the 4s. Like I've thought that for quite a while now. They don't get, and they're starting to, but that line still didn't get as much focus as I feel like it should have.
Yeah, I think back to all my times visiting the THP Tech studio, and my go-to selection was always, and it probably still would be if I went there tomorrow, if I needed to hit a product, so typically a golf ball or something that I wanted to eliminate a variable on, I would grab the ZX4 7 iron and just trust that it would do it exactly what I wanted to do. So sure enough. So there you go, Andy. You better buy a set. I don't want to hear any excuses like you're married and busy and all that other stuff. So
now are you playing graphite right now?
Well, I was, and I had just switched back to you're talking about irons, right?
Yeah.
So in the 921
steel shafted driver.
Yeah. Well, it might help me, dude. Who knows? That thing sucks. So I'd been playing the 921 forged with the Recoil Proto 110s and I was loving the experience. So I'm going to have to make a challenging decision whether I reshaft the 221s and 225s into that, or whether I commit a little bit of time and then make the transition over. I really like graphite, man. I think there's a lot to be said there. And I think the longevity of playing, especially in range sessions for I'm not particularly old, but I swing fairly aggressively and I have a fairly long swing, and at 37, it's not like it's getting easier to do that. So I kind of feel like I get beat up a little bit over time with the steel in there. So yeah, it's always in the back of my mind. I know you feel the same way. You've dabbled in graphite pretty aggressively.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at now. I've got the Ballistic 95s, which you did a video on for THPTV. Yeah. Those are in the 223s, and they're in the blackout finish, which Kinetic should go to in all of their shafts as an option because it looks freaking killer.
Yeah.
And then in the T100Ss, which are probably going to go in the bag, it's actually Excalibur Rapid Taper 105s, which I want to save it for the article whenever it comes through, but I'm pretty blown away by what I've seen, and I've done the other weights in them, but it's pretty crazy for a company like that.
Aren't we getting lucky, man? We have, you know, a myriad of options coming out. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, there was basically a couple, and then the really scary ones to me were always the Kurokaji iron shafts, which it's just like C-taper. You either loved it, or you felt like it was death incarnate in your hands.
It's like steel fiber.
Your timing is so wrong with it. Steel fiber is another good example. But yeah, I just had Danny on the show last week, and we were talking about Recoil Dart coming out in 105 soon, 95 soon.
I'm excited about those. Yeah,
that'll add a whole another one to the mix for you, which is either great or unfortunate, depending on how bored you are this summer. I suppose when you play 250 rounds a year, you may as well change it out every 50 rounds or so. Otherwise, you're just, you know, in the moment too much.
Yeah, I hope I get back to there. Yeah.
Well, you know, I really wanted to talk to you tonight about a mutual passion we have for a company called Matt Gray. You introduced me to them a couple years ago, and I had an unbelievable experience. Had a bit of an issue, reached out. Got engaged very high up in the totem pole there. Uh-huh. and they sorted me out. I got to tell you what, man, I've added a number of their products to the closet this year, and between them and Trav and Puma and Straight Down, I mean, I feel like I'm in an unbelievable situation for quality products. But, you know, Matt Gray, I get it, man. You've been talking for years about how great they are, how the material. I even bought one with a pocket in it because I was trying to be like you. So, yeah, we got polos for days in the house. What is your current love affair for apparel? I know you were touching on Roback a little bit. You've got the Matt Gray on right now, I believe.
Yes, I do. I wore this to the PGA today, so I'm a little bit festive because you got to stand out a little bit.
What is the go-go?
I love that your interaction with Matt led to Travis, which Travis Johnson's kind of a big name as far as apparel goes. He was involved with another company that we both like very much before he went off and founded Matt. And I've long thought that they're making really quality stuff as far as the material is concerned, and their customer service is great because they're so small. So those are the kind of companies that I tend to steer towards. I'm dabbling in Roback. I've got two Roback shirts that I enjoy because I can wear them off the course comfortably jeans.
A sweatshirt too, right?
I did. I got the Azaleas pullover. Which has the Masters Edition Azaleas pullover, which is pretty killer. I mean, I can kind of pull it off one time a year. but it's pretty killer. I like Straight Down. I'm still big on Puma. Some of the stuff that Ricky wore today, I need to see soon. I don't think it's
really
on the site.
You got some new stuff?
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it before in that colorway, at least. I mean, he was a little floral today, but it was on a cool colorway that I hadn't really paid attention to.
Have you dabbled into the Alpha Cat yet?
I have not yet. That's on my summer list. But I hoarded so many golf shoes last year. I think I've got three brand new pairs still that I need to go through.
Your Deltas, right?
Deltas. Yeah. I love my Deltas. and then, I mean, I don't know. I've recently kind of become obsessed with Johnny O.
Okay.
Namely the shorts more than the shirts right now, because they've got some just flat out killer patterns in the shorts. I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff right now, and it's a lot of really expensive stuff, but it's really good.
I was going to say, yeah, once you get into that upper echelon, you have these materials that I still think cloud spun is from Puma at the price mm-hmm. they offer. That is a really, truly remarkable product.
Yeah. The same as Matter. Matter fits right in there as well.
Yeah. You can talk about Matter. I'm busy with cloud spun. I've got all the quarter zips, you know, I'm huge into that, but you know, when you get into that upper echelon of product, you have we've already made the examples in the conversation. You can pretty much just pick a product that you think is suitable for you. And I think there's a couple, like you mentioned, Johnny O. I've not experienced their shorts. I found their shirts to be a little short for me. I'm a little mm-hmm. taller of a guy, but like straight down hammers that beautifully. And Matt Gray does the same thing. So yeah, I think we're in such a cool spot. Roback's actually a little bit of a shorter cut, which surprised me.
I think that's why I like it off the course as much as I do though. Yeah. Because I can wear it with jeans untucked and stuff like that, and it's not a big deal.
And so. Cowboy boots, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool spot to be in, man. I highly recommend hitting up the Alpha Cats. And I know you're just like me, within a week you're gonna end up with a pair. It wasn't like my bag saga that lasted way, way, way too long. So yeah, Alpha Cats, that's been remarkable. I have two pair now. And in fact, I have my Twitter deemed my Crayola Deltas are still
those are
very
my favorites
in the closet, not being used, because Alpha Cats, man, they're too good. I'm waiting for the next release so I can buy another pair.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I really wanted to talk about your boys and your girls. I say we just have a little bit of a chat here. Okay. You've got a lot of pride based on what I've seen on social media, Instagram, Facebook. It was an emotional roller coaster for you this year, taking the girls and the boys both to state, which is unbelievable. Put on a show. You got a couple guys heading off into the next part of their career, but it sounds like you guys have a pretty strong program for next year too. Like, are you guys going to compete again?
It's this year for the girls was kind of a surprise. I always thought we were a year away, but we kind of overachieved. I had specifically one of the little freshmen that just showed up. She shot 88 her last round at state as a freshman, and I can't state how good that is. And she's going to turn some heads, and she just got hooked up with one heck of an instructor here in the state of Oklahoma, as far as for girls golf is concerned. And that's going to be a big deal. So we bring all of our starters back, and we add in some sophomores and another freshman who's going to be really talented. So, we will be in the hunt for top two there. I'm very confident in that. On the boys side, we graduated a couple. One of them I'm more sad to see go than the other, and that's not a slight. It's just sometimes as a coach, it's just time. And but the three horses all come back, and there's a chance of adding another one into the stable, for lack of a better term. And we've got a couple of freshmen who will be sophomores now that are going to be able to jump in. So I think we finished top seven, both teams at state, which as one coach doing both of them, my last 2 months, you haven't seen me very often. You know how busy I was. We usually talk daily, but it's been pretty crazy. But I mean, next year will be a better year. And that's pretty cool to be able to sit here and say, because there's been a lot of work that's gone into it.
Yeah. A lot of pride as well. You're every time we had a chance to speak about it, it sounds like the kids did more than you anticipated. They proved you right in a lot of ways and proved you surprised. So that's really great to see, man. It's fun. I love the idea of supporting and coaching our youth, and it's hard to really present the amount of effort that goes into that. But as one unbelievably close friend to another, I would say your sacrifices were definitely noticed. So I hope they felt that. And you know, we got a lot of guys who are listening in and who follow you on social and follow Cushing on social who are getting a small taste of it. So yeah, we're all rooting for you, man. I hope the kids know that too. They got THP on their back.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. It's been a long journey to finally get it to the point where it is. So we'll see. I mean, it's summertime, so now it turns into, it's kind of back on them, and we'll see what they do.
Yeah. You have big hopes?
I got big hopes. Good, I got man. Bigger. But I think we finally got groups that have got the same hopes. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, can I sneak something in before you ask me a question?
Of course. Because I don't know what I'm going to ask you.
You know, it's been a challenging year and a half for me. I've been on the pod speaking rather aggressively and frustratingly at the whole soft cap situation, the saga, if you will, that has gone on. And I'm thrilled to report that for the first time in almost a year, I shot under par today. So
look at you go.
It was a big, big moment. It was a one mistake early, an unforced error from 70 yards that I really don't want to talk about. I went from a conference call onto the first hole and didn't really take a shot. So, I mean, there's that to blame. And, but yeah, we're looking up, man. If I can shorten this driver swing, we might actually be good at golf again. So I had to throw that in there. I know everyone's listening in, who decided to listen this long, and have enjoyed my ranting and ramblings about the soft cap, but yeah, I might be able to solve it without actually having to cycle through the
look at you figured out an answer.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll have to get together and play a little golf. You can report the masses how bad or good I am now. So
there you go.
So James, man, do you have any questions for me?
Are you going to play a driver this year?
I have a driver in the bag. Yep. Actually, I am so bad or underwhelming with driver, fairway wood, and hybrid that I put the fairway wood back in the bag. And that is 100% up for lease. Wow. So my next play, now that it's, I can't say fairway free, 2022. So we'll call it fairway free 23, I think, is what our new plan is. But right now I think I want to find a new fairway wood, man. I gotta find some. So
we can do that.
Yeah. So yeah, the bag's wide open, why not?
Good.
What else you got, man? Give me one more.
I don't really have anything else. I've it's been such a whirlwind. I'm just happy to be back amongst the living.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you back on the show again. We got lots to talk about always. So shout out to you, shout out to the kids. Hard work this year always pays off. State is a big story to tell. For anyone listening in, I hope you guys have a great time. If you're playing golf this weekend, we've got the PGA on, we've got a holiday weekend next weekend, which is great. Just have a good time. Let me know you're playing on social media or on the THP forums, because we're always over there talking about our shows. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.